rhythm. I was one of those people who would always skip ahead to the tracks with the drum solos, the drum breaks, the most irresistible grooves whenever I got hold of a new album. Ballads? I was there for the beat. I am not alone. Some of us became drummers, some even famous drummers. Who better to find some great rhythms for us to hear than the greatest drummers in the world? My name is Bill Zildjian. I know a few drummers. I have been in the center of the drumming world since I was a baby. And from the old school jazz legends right on through to the still undiscovered tomorrow's legends, I have met and hung out with thousands of them. It's been a great experience, and I would like to share it. Let's get together with one or two of these artists and hear what they have for us. Welcome to Drummer Radio. It was 13 years ago that a friend told me to keep my eye on the drummer in a new country band that was forming up called Rushlow. The drummer, Rich Redmond, and I hit it off well, and for years one of my daughters wore an extra-large Rushlow t-shirt as a nightgown. Nashville, and the music that it is famous for, has a unique class system among professional musicians. There are the hard-working many who tour behind the famous artists for hundreds of days each year, and the gifted few who usually record the albums that these same artists release. It's very hard to break into the elite studio group, and it's rare for these two groups to mix. Then there's Rich Redmond. When Rushlow, the band, broke up, Rich and two other members became the nucleus of Jason Aldean's band, not just to tour, but to record the music as well. The band's great sound and stage show powered Aldean through multiple platinum albums, number one singles, music awards, and sold-out tours to the top of the music business. That wasn't enough, though. Rich and his bandmates formed New Voice Entertainment, a production company that records, writes, and produces for other acts in Nashville as well. Rich is also busy as a successful motivational speaker with his Crash Course for Success, which fires up corporate groups just as much as it fires up musicians. Rich has gone even beyond that, though, as well. He has taken the best of his ongoing drum teaching career and written a book and a DVD, Fundamentals of Drumming, for kids. If it seems to you like he's doing everything at once and on the way to running the entire world, you'd be right. Next October, he will host his third annual convention of drummers, the Crash with Rich Drummer Weekend in Nashville next October 30th. When Rich fits in a run for President of the United States, my daughter's t-shirt will become a collector's item, I'm sure, if it isn't already. Welcome to Drummer Radio, Rich Redmond.
Hi, how's everybody doing? That's an awesome intro. Thanks, Bill.
My pleasure.
Cleaned up, clean cut, and clean shaved. I got the cover off the 68. I fired it up and let them horses sing. A little pretty thing, a little tan leg Georgia dream. But she's rocking them holy jeans. Baby, what you got going on Saturday? You know, word's got it, it's gonna be a party. Out of town about half a mile. Four-wheel drives and big mud ties. Musket down wide. Baby, you can find me in the back of a jacked up tailgate, sitting around watching all these pretty things. Get down in that Georgia clay and I'll find peace at the bottom of a real tall cold drink. I'm chilling with some Skinner and some old hay. Let's get this thing started, it's my kind of party. Baby, just do your thing. Give up your keys. Hell, why drive when you can stay with me in the night? and after a while we sneak away from the bonfire. Walk by the moonlight and down to the riverside. Got you sipping on some moonshine. Baby, if you're in the mood and you can settle for a one night a rodeo, you could be my tan leg Juliet. I'll be your redneck Romeo. Oh, baby, you can find me in the back of a jacked up tailgate, sitting around watching all these pretty things. I'll get down in that Georgia clay and I'll find peace at the bottom of a real tall cold drink. I'm chilling with some Skinner and some old hay. Let's get this thing started. It's my kind of party. Watching all these pretty things. I get down in that Georgia clay and I'll find peace at the bottom of a real tall cold drink. I'm chilling with some Skinner and some old hay. Let's get this thing started. It's my kind of party.
Drummer Radio, Bill Zildjian here with Rich Redman. Rich, that's a terrific song. I noticed that drumming and the band is just stretching out so much more than you usually hear.
Yeah, thanks. That's, you know, that's kind of the one. That was the name of, you know, a title of the number one song, the record, and the whole tour that one went on for like a year and a half, which was really, really great. And, you know, we're really lucky in Nashville because we're, you know, it's kind of the songwriting capital of the world, and we just have amazing songwriters that have that gift. And the great songwriters write songs that practically play themselves, you know. So it's always amazing to hear yourself on the radio and to hear people singing along on songs that, you know, that practically, like I said, play themselves, you know. We ran that, and it was like, oh, this feels great, you know.
Well, that's terrific. I'm pretty sure that song was instrumental in you winning all of the polls that year as the number one country drummer. Drum Magazine, Modern Drummer, you were all over the place then.
Crazy. I walked the orange carpet. Well, thanks.
We're going to work through some of the songs that you picked for us here. And your first one, Benny and the Jets from Elton John's 1974 album, Goodbye Yellow Brick Road.
Yeah, you know, this is such an awesome format that you have here, you know, picking 10 of your favorite songs or 10 songs that shaped you as a musician or 10 songs that just feature the drums. I think it's a really cool thing to get people to think about. And although I listen to lots of different drummers coming up, I still fancy myself at heart kind of an overeducated rock drummer, you know. And I kind of decided to pick songs in the order that they kind of lit a fire under me. I was like, wow, what's that? Because when you're a young man, you know, in the 70s and 80s, you know, that's right along the time that I decided, this is amazing. This is what I want to do with my life. I want to play music. Like, I know for a lot of people, it was 1964, you know, the Beatles. And for me, I heard this song, I'm dating myself, but it was on 8-track. A friend of mine had the 8-track, Elton John's Greatest Hits, Volume 1. And there was just something, you know, indescribable that kind of resonated with me. And that was also kind of the birth of HBO. And everybody that had HBO, which included my grandparents, there was a concert live from Central Park in 1980, and it featured Elton's touring and recording band. And they showed that thing probably 4 times a day. And Nigel Olsen is the drummer. And, you know, he was kind of the king of less is more, knew how to perfectly play a song. He had that flubby 70s, you know, baseball bat and a birthday cake kind of snare drum sound that he perfected, and the concert toms. And I just love his drumming. So I watched that concert over and over and over. So I would say anybody listening to this, you know, pick up on all the space and the groove and the maturity that he plays with.
Rich, I love the way the hand claps, being as far behind the beat as they are, sort of stretch it out.
Right. I mean, it's that old dodge. It's like, what came first, the groove or the hand claps, you know? Oh, man. But that was just awesome. And that's such a challenging thing to do, that the whole band is sitting so far back. And who knew if people were playing with click tracks in 1973? I mean, maybe some were, but that was just a band. They had that band feel.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of playing perfect time, I think our next artist has perfect time.
You absolutely caught me flat-footed with this next one, because I have heard this song and known about it since really when it came out in 1981. Someone handed it to me on a tape, uncredited. I had no idea that Steve Gadd was the drummer, Rich.
Right.
This is Just the Two of Us from Grover Washington's Wine Light album from 1981.
Thank you. hear the crystal raindrops fall on the window down the hall, and it becomes the morning dew. And darling, when the morning comes and I see the morning sun, I want to be the one with you. Just the two of us, we can make it if we try. Just the two of us,
just the two of us,
just the two of us, building big castles we on high. Just the two of us, you and I.
Just the two of us,
just the two of us,
just the two of us.
Let's get it together, baby.
Yeah, just the two of us,
just the two of us.
You're listening to Drummer Radio. Rich, that's a terrific example of Steve Gadd.
How about that? Yeah, the perfect session drummer. You know, look up session drummer in the dictionary, the picture of Steve Gadd. And that's that is the long version. When I was in the fifth grade, every morning my mother would be driving me to school and that song would come on like four times. And it was the like 3-minute ditty, you know, the radio-friendly ditty, the edit, and little did I know what kind of set in motion a lot of things. Like, first of all, Ralph McDonald, beautiful percussionist, played the perfect thing at the perfect time, you know, when the cowbells and the woodblocks and all that kick in on the second chorus, you know, that kind of, like, resonated with me, and I ended up trying to, you know, fancy myself a percussionist, too, so I play a lot of percussion. And songwriting, I mean, Ralph McDonald wrote that song, and it was recorded like 80 times. So it was kind of a very influential track in my life.
Now, you had a studio career in, I believe, Dallas, Texas, before you went to Nashville.
Yeah, you know, Peter Frampton's drummer right now is a great guy named Dan Wojciechowski. He's a little older than me, and he was kind of a mentor. I really looked up to him in the Dallas music scene, and I followed him around after he would leave a gig, and I would go chase that gig. And there was just enough work for Dan and a couple other guys, and I would get his scraps, and I would maybe overdub percussion on a lot of his drum tracks. And that was kind of one of the things when I had my quarter-life crisis. It was like, all right, New York, L.A., or Nashville, and my bags were packed for sunny Los Angeles, you know, where I could go play rock and smooth jazz and all that kind of stuff. And then I ended up getting some auditions in Nashville in 1997. And that's kind of where I stayed. That was 17 years ago.
If you were a studio guy, imagine Steve Gadd was an influence.
Oh my God. Yeah. I mean, just you hear those quarter notes just so gorgeously placed. And another thing that I took from him was using the hi-hat on the left foot on upbeats to create like a forward momentum, you know, without rushing, obviously, but it just adds another kind of like a percolation to move the beat forward. And then the floor tom on beat four, and then the gushy snare drum and the perfect cross stick. And, you know, anybody that has experience playing in the studio knows that that is one of the most challenging things. You could play that beat, the boom, the doom, with those two notes, to have them perfectly placed and have them executed the same way at the same velocity. It's kind of like Studio Drummer 101.
Now, you fancied yourself a rock drummer. Is that where Double Vision comes in?
Absolutely. that was, you know, 1978. So you can kind of see, I was born in 70, so you can kind of see the influence here. I was listening to 1970s music, you know, 74 for Benny and the Jets, 80 or 81 for that last song, and this song came out in 1978. Yeah, just an amazing rock and roll band, still to this day. It was produced by a guy named Keith Olsen, who was actually our guitar player in Al Dean's band, had a band called The House of Dreams, and Keith actually produced their record, and I believe it was late 80s, early 90s. But I just think Dennis Elliott is underrated. He had such signature fills and really cool worked-out parts, and I've seen Foreigner with Shulman. I've seen Foreigner with Denny Carmassi. Just an amazing rock band.
Such an incredibly polished studio sound, and his drumming fits right in.
Oh, man. Wallace. I love those first three records, Foreigner, Double Vision, and Head Games. Classic. And I remember when I was learning to read music, I used those records to actually work on my, like, I played along to them, but I also worked on my transcription skills because they were, it was just good, like solid patterns with fills that you can hear clearly hear. So it was, so I remember, it brings me back.
It's going to be interesting comparing that with our next one, which is from the same year, 1978, So Lonely, from Police's first album, Outlandos D'Amour, with Stuart Copeland on the drums.
Stuart Copeland, I think, is always like one of the top 10 influences for so many of the drummers that I look up to. So I remember that Synchronicity was kind of like my gateway into learning about Stuart, and which, you know, big year, 1983, won 3 Grammy Awards. My girlfriend, every day in school, we wore our matching Synchronicity shirts. And then, you know, I was hooked, and I went back, and I bought all the other records. You know, he just has such an amazing identifiable style with the snare crack and the snare flams and all the open hi-hat dialogue that's constantly chirping away, and the use of the splash cymbals and the octobons, and the way he's all over the ride cymbal, kind of like painting a picture on the ride cymbal between the body and the bell. I think a lot of people try to imitate him, and not very many people get close, but, you know, people hear people doing that, and they're like, oh, yeah, Copeland. You like Copeland, huh?
Can't convince myself.
Drummer Radio. Bill Zildjian here with Rich Redman, one of the elite drummers from Nashville. Rich, I've heard people talk about Stuart Copeland coming from nowhere with some of his drum fills.
Yeah, I can't speak 100%, but I think he traveled a lot growing up, so there was a lot of influence from different cultures, you know, the Caribbean, Moroccan, African kind of influences in his playing. And then I know that the Police were mixing that, the reggae thing that they were all very attracted to, with punk rock, and it became like this own, you know, unique recipe. So they kind of wrote their ticket for success by mixing all these different styles together, and it really allowed him to shine. So I had all the records on 8-track, and I every day I would watch this concert they had. It was called, it was live at the Omni in Atlanta, Georgia. It was a concert that was taped in 1983, and of course I had it on VHS, and I just wore it out every day.
Stuart also had a very sort of bright, light sound, and you've got Vinny Appice here with a much heavier sound here in the song Rainbow in the Dark from Ronnie James Dio's Heavy Diver album.
Oh, Holy Diver, yeah.
I'm sorry, Holy Diver album.
But it is heavy. It's heavy attack, man.
Yeah, see, I couldn't stop myself.
I was in the eighth grade. I love Vinny, and I finally got to meet Vinny, actually. Big influence. Just such a powerful drummer. Big drum sounds. I mean, he had a ride cymbal. You could, like, slice a dragon's head off with this thing, man. The headless toms, gong bass drums. Even the front bass drum head had the front of the bass drum's head was off. And I think he played with a lot of power, but he played with a lot of grace. It was really perfect for Dio's music. And I finally got to meet him 2 years ago at the Rock and Roll Fantasy Camp. They were having one of their events at the Playboy Mansion. Not a bad place to meet one of your heroes. And he was sitting in on a 4-piece drum set. So really, it's really a lesson in, you know, you don't necessarily have to have a lot of drums for a person's personality and their style to shine through, because he usually played a lot of toms, a multi-tom setup, and he was just killing it on a 4-piece drum set. So, very nice guy. For whatever reason, I was just attracted to this music. I think we all were. Between 1984 and 1988, we all had Hairspray, a lot of Hairspray.
Me!
Drummer Radio. Bill Zildjian here with Rich Redman, drummer for Jason Aldean and many others in Nashville. Rich, Vinny is a hard hitter on this.
He sure is, man. And it's just the right stuff. It's just such a fat groove. And I love his fills. They were kind of almost rudimental in nature. You know, very, very rudimental. And he would break that up around toms. And it was just very, very powerful. Loved it.
Our next drummer here was known for being a pretty hard hitter as well, but with a lot of precision thrown in. Billy Cobham's Red Baron from his Spectrum album in 1973. Tell me about the first time you heard Billy Cobham.
You know, I took some lessons my freshman year in high school, and my teacher, I was taking lessons at a place called Danny's Music Box in El Paso, Texas, from a gentleman named Jim Hargrove, and he says, he turned me on to the first Billy Cobham record. He's like, check this out. And he showed me the picture, and he had three floor toms and two bass drums. And I was like, what is this? And what I just loved, you know, speaking of rudimental precision, I mean, Billy has a really strong rudimental background. And the way that that song, The Red Baron, is recorded, I mean, essentially it's almost kind of like a hip-hop beat. You know, and it's recorded so well. You can hear all the little grace notes on the snare drum and every little hi-hat opening. And then when he would go to the toms, they were tuned so high and powerful that they just, there's a lot of dynamics in that track. That's what kind of really struck me about that track, is the dynamic range and the control that he had and the singles that he was playing, you know, around the toms. Pretty incredible.
We'll be right back.
Drummer Radio. Bill Zildjian here with Rich Redmond. Rich, I read recently that that album was recorded in about 2 days. Imagine the precision they brought to the table to get it done that quickly.
Yeah, incredible. And it's difficult music, you know, but with that group of musicians, and you have the engineer, Ken Scott, you know, I just read his book, The Engineer. He's worked with everybody from the Beatles to Missing Persons, and that's one of the great things about that album as well, is just the way it's recorded. Just unbelievable. Like, it was recorded yesterday, really.
Excellent. And speaking of recording yesterday, our next song is a remake of a Mark Bolan song from T-Rex. It's Bang a Gong as done by Power Station with Robert Palmer in 1985.
Yeah, 1985. I was a sophomore in high school, and we had MTV, and we didn't have this crazy internet thing. So if you were interested in playing music, if you were in love with it like I was, you know, you constantly were watching MTV to see, because they had concerts. They actually had live concerts all the time on MTV, and I learned how to play by studying the drummers. I would tape things and I would try to slow things down, but I just really fell in love with the drumming of Tony Thompson. And you know, he was in a band called Chic, and they had songs called Dance Dance Dance, La Freak, Good Times, We Are Family. Of course, I played all those songs in disco tribute bands. But then he went on to do this awesome project called The Power Station, and I just was in love with their music. He was incredibly powerful, had an awesome sound, because I believe they recorded the record at the Power Station, which was known for its massive drum sound. And Tony had that barking hi-hat thing that I just loved. But so he had the pocket and the funkiness of a funk drummer with the power of a rock drummer.
Truck.
Drummer Radio, Bill Zildjian here with Rich Redman. Rich, Tony Thompson has a drum sound that would fill an airplane hangar in that song.
Maybe he recorded it in an airplane hangar. I don't know. It's huge. I remember coming home after school every day. I'm playing along to that song. Felt so good.
Our next song is Small Town from John Mellencamp's Scarecrow album from 1985. Kenny Aronoff's the drummer.
Yeah, this was definitely this or the Lonesome Jubilee. I would say those two records from Mellencamp are my desert island records, you know. You know, everybody knows Kenny. He's one of the most visible drummers on the planet. And I think he played with John for somewhere around 14 or 15 years and created this great body of work. This is one of my favorite records. Huge drum sound, really intelligent choices. The songs are just like paint a picture of Americana. It was all over the radio, was all over MTV. And I really love studying what Kenny has been able to do with his career over all these years. And it's definitely proof. It's been an inspiration to me, what you could do when you roll up your sleeves and work really hard.
Drummer Radio, Bill Zildjian here with Rich Redman, one of the few Nashville drummers with a great studio career and a great touring career. Rich, on this John Mellencamp song, I understand that Kenny Aronoff was classically trained and had to switch his hands to sound a little rougher.
Yeah, he ended up leading with the left hand on the hi-hat instead of the right hand on the hi-hat, and that just, I think, helped him get one step closer to sounding more like a self-taught, you know, rock drummer, which is kind of crazy. And I've been following his drumming for a long time. I don't think he does that as much anymore. I think he made the switch to having an X hat. Like, a lot of us have another hi-hat over on our right-hand side, which I love because you can still get the color, the voicing, the color of a hi-hat, but you can still go way higher on the backbeat in your left hand without having to cross.
Now, I understand you're classically trained as well.
I did. I ended up getting a degree in music education and percussion from Texas Tech, and then a degree in music education and percussion from the University of North Texas. So just a lot of schooling, you know, learning how to play classical music and playing all the percussion instruments and being really good at reading and playing in a big band. I think all that stuff has direct application to what we do. I think it saves me every day, you know, to be able to hear something for the first time and scribble out a roadmap or write out very specific things that you're hearing on a session. If a producer wants you to, say, replay what a drum machine played, and you can write it out note for note, that came from listening to those kind of records. I know all the licks and fills on that last song because I wrote it all out on a piece of paper.
We're going to go out with a song, We Danced Anyway, by Deanna Carter from 1996. I think you wanted to make a special shout-out to Greg Morrow, the drummer in this song.
Yeah, Greg Morrow is an amazing session drummer here in Nashville. He had a session career in Memphis, and around 1995, 96, he moved to Nashville, and he started playing on a lot of records in town, and this was one of them. And I came to Nashville from Dallas, Texas, doing three auditions. I did three auditions in 1 month. I did an audition with Trisha Yearwood, Deanna Carter, and Barbara Mandrell, and I had to learn five Deanna Carter songs, and Greg was the drummer. And I was like, wow, this is just very different. It was a new voice in Nashville studio drumming. So I was really, really attracted to it. And I ended up moving to town and meeting Greg, becoming friends with Greg, along with other great guys like Eddie Bears and Lonnie Wilson, who were very supportive of me when I moved to town. And Greg is kind of an unsung hero. You never see him in the magazines or anything. So I wrote an article on him that's going to be in Modern Drummer magazine, the February 2015 issue, so next month's issue of Modern Drummer.
Before you go, Rich, I just wanted to say that I think you're going to take your place as one of the voices of Nashville drumming as well. And we are all grateful that you could come to our show and play some music with us.
Oh, man, that is very, very sweet. I am honored to be here. It's awesome to catch up with you. And, you know, you're one of the reasons why I say sound the way I do, because when I was a younger man, you took a chance on me and got me my first cymbal endorsement. So thank you.
Thanks, Rich. It's been a pleasure.
The summer air was heavy and sweet. You and I on a crowded street, there was music everywhere. I can see us there in a happy little foreign town where the stars hung upside down, a half a world away, far, far away. I remember you were laughing. We were so in love, we were so in love. In the band played back. Well, baby, I don't believe that. Come along with me. Come on and dance with me. Well, maybe if if I hold you close. Baby, we could just let go of these things that tie us down. We'll come back around. You remember we were laughing. We were so in love, so in love. And the band played songs that we had never heard, but we danced anyway.
We're back with one extra song for the podcast because Rich's favorites run longer than a 58-minute radio format, and I want to hear them anyway.
Yeah.
Rich, you've got one more that I've seen this song picked out as iconic by a bunch of music critics as well as this album, so you're in good company choosing Kenny Jones playing with Rod Stewart in I'm Losing You from his Every Picture Tells a Story album.
Yep, and it was just a year after I was born, 1971. A lot of this music that I picked was from 70 to 86, you know, so it was a very, very influential time in my life. We've got great playing on this, awesome, you know, British-style drumming. The tambourine is hot as heck in the mix. There's a bona fide drum solo, and you can hear that Krupa influence coming out in Kenny, one of my favorites, and I love what he did also later on with the Who.
He's not afraid to play with the actual tempo as well, which is something that in a click track era you don't always get to hear.
Yeah, we're so trained now and so sensitive to rhythm, and you know, producers can hear the difference between 94 BPM and 94.5, and they just didn't care about it. Like, they went with human emotions and where the song took them, and the drum solo speeds up, but who cares? It's awesome.
And then at the end, you can hear him just about busting a gut to bring the band back together again at the slow tempo. It's a marvelous choice.
Yeah, well, thank you. And you can look it up on YouTube, and you'll actually see he does a drum solo, and it's that same old thing. How do I end this, and how do I bring the band back in? It's that same painful process that we all go through.
We're really glad that you came and picked some songs for us. I hope to hear again from you soon.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. We'll be right back.
fading. Can feel it fade.